Oh, the vet is from 122 to 124.
بسم الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا بالقاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الهاديين المهديين قال تعالى في محكم تنزيله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين واتقوا يوما لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا ولا يقبل منها عدل ولا تنفعها شفاعة ولا هم ينصرون صدق الله العلي العظيم الله سبحانه وتعالى is talking and calling the Israelis in these verses. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about the people of books in the previous verse, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is facing and addressing the children of Ya'qub, whom are Israelis, in order to remind them about the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surrounded them with. And particularly, the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them the best among all of that time, among the people of that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them the best among all the people who lived at that time. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Bani Israel, Allah called the attention, starting with the word Ya, which is the word of calling in Arabic. Ya, we call it in Arabic, harfun nida, the word of calling. If you want to call someone, you use the word Ya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Bani Israel, O you children of Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. Remember my blessings that I bless you with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, اذكروا means remember. Because a man is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a man and placed in him what we call forgetfulness. And that's why in Arabic they call a man al-insan. Means a man, or an insan means the one who forgets. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he sent the prophet and sent the imams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said their responsibility is to remind us, because a man, when he gets to this world with all this materialism that a man is surrounded with, sometimes a man gets deep into these things and forgets his responsibility. So that's why the prophet, when they come, their responsibility is to come and remind us what our responsibility is, because we forgot a lot. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اذكروا, remember, because I know that you, a human being, you do forget. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to remind them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. Remember, my blessing that I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have gave to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. There are a lot of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Israelis in particular, which I think we have already talked about that. But some of them are this. Are that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have rescued them from Fir'aun after Fir'aun has been punishing them for years. Humiliate them, use them as a slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Prophet Musa to come and rescue them. That is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, Fir'aun wanted at the last minute wanted to kill them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his miracle through Musa to were able through that miracle to cross the river and rescue them. That's another blessing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent them Musa to come and teach them who is Allah. That's the greatest blessing. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a prophet to come and show them what is the right path. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's reminding them all these blessings that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding them with the big one too. He said, "Wa anni fadhaltukum 'ala al-'alamin." Remember my favor to you and the preference that I gave to you over all the other nations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them to be the best ummah of that time. They are better ummah, but at that time. They are not better ummah at this time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tells them that they are better ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make them better ummah after that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here is that, "Wa anni," and indeed, I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "fadhaltukum," I favor to you and the preference, I made you better ummah, ala al-alamin, upon the worlds at that time. That is one of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling their attention to. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to remind them. And then after that, Allah said, "Wattaqu yawman." Allah said, "Have fear of a day, of the day." La tajzi nafsun an nafsin shay'a. When every soul will be responsible for itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is reminding them about the day of judgment. And that each blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a man, that blessing does not come for free. It comes with the responsibility. And that responsibility will be questioned. And the day that responsibility will be questioned is on the day of judgment. The blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them and gave us is a blessing. But at the same time, you have a responsibility. Each blessing comes with the responsibility. And that responsibility will also be questioned on the day of judgment. And that day is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing in this verse, saying, "Wattaqu," means have a fear. And always when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say taqwa, taqwa, fear, 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 it's about Himself. But here, He is using the word taqwa for that day. Wattaqu. Most of the time if you see the word wattaqu, it comes with Allah. Wattaqu Allah. Means fear Allah. But here it says wattaqu yawman. Means fear the day. Why? Wattaqu Allah and wattaqu yawman. Wattaqullah calls you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here it calls you to fear the day, because fearing of that day will lead you to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even though it says the fear that day, but at the same time it's fear of Allah. Because fearing of that day is going to help a man and lead him towards fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, "Yawman," a day. That day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the day. Quran has described a lot of verses that have described about the day of judgment. Some of the days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them Al-Qari'ah. Some of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Al-Tariq. Some of them, Al-Taghabun. Some of them, Al-Qiyamah. And so on and so forth. They all are the names of the day of judgment. But he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he just calls it the day. And then he says, "La tajzi nafsun an nafsin shay'a." It's a day that day is coming. And that day is a day that when every soul will be responsible for itself.
here in this world, most of the time we help each other. We do each other favors. But when that day comes, Quran says, each soul will be responsible for itself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes in Surah Al-Abasa and tells us that that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. It's a day that a man will be running from his own brother. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. A man will be running from his own father and own mother. These are the people that a man always want to be with, the father and the brother and the mother. But on the Day of Judgment, Quran says, people will be running away from each other. Because each soul is trying to be responsible for itself. So no soul is willing to take any responsibility of other soul, regardless how related they are to each other. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what is going to happen on that day. If you number two say, وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ. That's the number two. That will happen on that day. That on that day, no ransom will be accepted for it. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَنْفَعُهَا شَفَاعَةٌ. No intercession will be any benefit, will be of any benefit to it, into the soul. Then on the Day of Judgment, there are some shafa'ah which will not benefit some people. There are some shafa'ah will benefit some people. Because there are different kinds of shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment. But some shafa'ah will not benefit, because the shafa'ah in Quran, in Ahlul Bayt, the shafa'ah is based on reasons. And one of the reasons is Salat. That Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, لَا تَنَالُ شَفَاعَتُنَا مَنِ اسْتَخَفَّ بِالصَّلَاةِ. That one of the reasons for a man to get the shafa'ah of Ahlul Bayt on the Day of Judgment is that for a man to keep his prayers, to be one of those who steadfast his prayers. That's the most important. That is one of the reasons of getting the shafa'ah. But other than that, the shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment will not benefit a man if he's not qualified for it. That's why Quran says, وَلَا تَنْفَعُهَا شَفَاعَةٌ. And then Quran and then saying, وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. And nobody on the Day of Judgment will be able to help or to support another person on the Day of Judgment. The only one who can support a person on that day is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or the Imam or the Prophet or other people. But it has to be permitted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing applies to the Shafa'ah as well. That even the Shafa'ah itself, a man has to get the permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Quran here tells us that the best way which a man trying to go through from this world to the hereafter, all the rules are closed. The rules that a man wants to take to the hereafter from this world, they are all closed on the Day of Judgment. All the ways will be closed. The only way which will be open on the Day of Judgment is the way of Tawheed, is the way of unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is open in front of a man, and that way also always is accepted when a man comes with the Iman and the good deeds and the Tawbah, repentance. That is the only way a man can get the benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be saved on that day. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the hero of Islam. About the one of the best prophets, one of the imams according to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Prophet Ibrahim. Prophet Ibrahim has been mentioned in the Quran more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned him in the Quran in different places, in different situations, in different responsibilities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised Prophet Ibrahim in so many verses. Even one of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Ibrahim as a nation, saying, Kana Ibrahim ummatun, that Ibrahim was a nation. Not a nation by number. Nation sometimes can be by numbers. And sometimes a nation can be by a heart and by the iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, he has not mentioned Ibrahim as a nation by number, that he is 1 million persons. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned Ibrahim as a nation by heart. As the same thing, the Prophet also mentioned Imam Ali as a nation on the day of Khandaq, the battle of Ditch, which happened between Imam Ali and Amr ibn Abdul al-Amri. The Prophet mentioned him as what? As a nation as well. Baraza al-Imanu kullu ala shirki kullu. That the Iman and the faith has fought against the disbelief. So Allah and the Prophet placed the Imam Ali as a nation. So the nation is not always by a number, as sometimes also a nation can be by the heart, even if it's at one person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he said, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started by the test. Say the Lord, when his Lord, this Ibrahim, his Lord tested him. And this is to tell us that the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not just for a man, it's not just for you and I. Even the Prophet and the messengers, he gets tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what the Quran tells us. All the Prophets have been were tested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he has tested Ibrahim. Prophet Ibrahim has been through a lot of tests by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tests of Ibrahim, some of them are this. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. First, by asking him, Prophet Ibrahim, when he started fighting the idol worshippers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Prophet Ibrahim in a people who were always worshipping idol worshippers. And not only that they worship idols, they were people who are proud and selling idols. That is one of the problems, one of the tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested Ibrahim with. That he has to deal with these people in order to see if Ibrahim will come out of these people clean or no. He's going to be one of them. Prophet Ibrahim has to go through with these people. And at the end, Prophet Ibrahim has to break all those idols except the big one. And that was the day that Prophet Ibrahim, when they asked him that they go into one of their celebrations, if he wants to come with them, then Prophet Ibrahim said, no, he's not coming. Then they left Ibrahim alone. After they left, Ibrahim took axe and broke all those idols except the big one. So when they came back, they asked Ibrahim, that Ibrahim, you know, they asked themselves, who did this to our Lord? Then one of them said, we had a son as a youth. Inna sami'na fatan yuqalu lahu Ibrahim. That we had a son, a youth, a young man called Ibrahim. He used to mention bad things about these idols, these lords. So they said, okay, let's send after him. Bring him over. They brought Ibrahim. They asked Ibrahim, who broke all these lords? Who broke these gods? He called them. He called them gods. Ibrahim has used the most unique and logic method of reason. With some of us, some of our scholars or some people, they don't understand the logic behind it. They say Ibrahim has lied. A'udhu billah. He believes Prophet Ibrahim, he is ma'asum, he is infallible. There is no way he will lie. So what Prophet Ibrahim was said, when they asked him, who did this to him, to the Lord, Prophet Ibrahim said, is'aluhu, that ask this big idol, in kanu yantiqoon. The logic is here, huh? That Prophet Ibrahim, he said, bal fa'alahu kabiru, that the big one of them is the one who did it. But with the condition. In kanu yantiqoon, if, with the condition, that's the condition there. That in kanu yantiqoon, if he speaks, if they talk. That's the logic that Ibrahim used. That if they talk, then the bigger one did it. But if they don't, which they don't, then they didn't do it. That's the logic that Ibrahim used there. So when Ibrahim said that, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ, that the bigger one did, if he said, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ, and did not say anything else, yes, he lied. But Prophet Ibrahim didn't stop there. When he said, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ, that the bigger one did, but with the condition, إِن كَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, if they speak, which he knows that he don't speak. And they do know that the Arabs don't speak. That's why Quran, after Ibrahim said that, Quran said, فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, and then they returned to themselves. Because Ibrahim did this logic so that he can get them to come back and think to. So when Ibrahim, as soon as Ibrahim said that, they came back and said, you know this don't talk. And that's where they found that Ibrahim was the one who did it. So Ibrahim wanted to tell them that he did it, but in a such a way that he can call their attention that these things are not the things that you're supposed to worship. Then after that, they placed Prophet Ibrahim in the fire. They placed him in the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even before they place him in the fire, before they put him in the fire, because after that, they found that Prophet Ibrahim did it. So they wanted to punish him and rescue their Lord. Well, that's what they said, according to the Quran. At the same time, before they placed Ibrahim into that fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jibreel came to Prophet Ibrahim and asked Ibrahim, do you have any help? Do you need any help? Prophet Ibrahim said, no, Jibreel. If I need help, I know whom to ask, not you. And then Jibreel asked Prophet Ibrahim, that, okay, Prophet Ibrahim, do you have any request you want me to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ibrahim said, no. Even if I do, why should I tell you? Because the Lord, he knows my situation. Why should I tell you to go and tell him? Doesn't he know about my situation? Of course he does. Then why should I tell you to go and tell him if he's watching what's going on? I don't need you, Jibreel. Allahu Akbar. Prophet Ibrahim, before they throw him on that fire, he called the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Ya Allah, Ya Ahad, Ya Samad. Ya Ahad means, oh, you the one. Ya Samad. Oh, you the one people return to during the time of need. Allahu Akbar. Prophet Ibrahim did not call anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the time they threw Ibrahim into that fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his revelation to the fire, saying, Ya naru kuni bardan. Oh, you fire, become a cold. Wa salaman, and peace ala Ibrahim, upon Ibrahim. The fire which burns, which kills, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the revelation, the miracle into that fire, saying that, no, today, the power that I placed into you, a fire, today, in for Ibrahim, at that particular time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that power is taken away from you. The power of burning is no longer working there for Ibrahim. It just turned to a peace. And just turned to cool. For whom? For Ibrahim al-Khalil. Ibrahim came out of that test as a victor. Allah tested him with his people, he came out as a victor. Another test came also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test Ibrahim. Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to immigrate from the land where he grew up, from the land that he is familiar with, from the land that he is comfortable with, to go to a land where there is nothing, it's all desert, a land where he's known nobody but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is to go to Mecca or to Hijaz. To go and do what? To go and build the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the huge thing, huh? Some of us, we do immigrate also from place to another. We travel. But when? We always travel from the bad to the good place. So that we can get a comfortable life. Better life. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing Ibrahim to leave the better life and go and test the worst life. Prophet Ibrahim went there. No water, no houses, no anything. Left a place where there is a house, there is a water, there is a life, there is anything, to go to a place which is the one of the worst place of the land at that time, in order to build the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Ibrahim accepted the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and went there and built the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted Ibrahim to go there and build the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to be the place that the Qibla of Muslims will change, which is the Kaaba. In order to teach Muslims that this Kaaba is one of the things that will let Muslims to remember Prophet Ibrahim. And also to remind us that Prophet Ibrahim is one of the heroes of Islam who fought the idol worshippers. That's one of the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to learn from Ibrahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim with this. He came out from that test as a victor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim, another test, asking him to slaughter his own son. Most of the fathers, they are ready to die for the sake of their children. But no father is willing to kill his own son particularly. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requested that from Ibrahim as a test. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Ibrahim in his sleeping to slaughter his own son, Prophet Ibrahim, as soon as he woke up, the first thing he did was to talk to his son Ismail, that Ya Bunaya inni ara fil manami anni azbahak, that I've seen in my dream that I am slaughtering you, and it's a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fanzur maza tara, see what you think. Ibrahim and his son Ismail, they were all devoted and dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The answer of Ismail, Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar, fatajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. That, oh my father, do whatever you have been commanded to do. Fatajiduni insha'allah. By the will of Allah, you will find me among the patients. People who will support you in order to do the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim with this, and Ibrahim came out as a victor. At the end, when Ibrahim wanted to slaughter his son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Dog, Ibrahim, the responsibility has been taken upon you. The slaughter your son, it's now taken upon you. But the slaughter, someone has to be slaughtered. But not today, not at this time." Ibrahim asked, according to some of the riwayat, Ibrahim wanted to slaughter his son in order to achieve, he and his son, to achieve the most, the closest, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, Ibrahim, that responsibility is lifted upon you, and now it's upon someone else. Ibrahim asked, who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it's going to be the progeny of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will be slaughtered for the sake of me. And that is Hussein, son of Ali. In any case, Prophet Ibrahim, he came out as a victor from that test. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim with all these kind of tests, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came in this verse. He said, وَإِذَا بِتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. That the Lord of Ibrahim has tested him after he passed all these tests. Because each test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests Ibrahim, he comes out of that test as a victor. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did all the tests, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have tested Ibrahim, and after we found him as a victor, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَلَادَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we tested him with a lot of things. The word kalimat here, meaning a lot of responsibilities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested him. With those responsibilities, each one of them is the most difficult one, and the most heaviest test as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed them on the shoulder of Ibrahim, and he carried them, and he was the best carrier as well. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim, Inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama. That I am going to make you an imam. What is the meaning of imam here? Then Ibrahim asked, anyway, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. Does this include this leadership? Will this leadership also continue through my descendants? قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ أَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, Ibrahim, the unjust do not have the right. The unjust among your family do not have the right to exercise my authority, because the imamit is authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before a man takes that responsibility, he has to be just. So as long as they are just among as long as they are just, yes, they can carry. But as long as they are not, they are unjust, Quran says, no, they cannot carry that responsibility. Because if they are unjust, how can unjust take that responsibility, which is the leadership of human or mankind as well? There are a lot of things we can learn from this verse. Insha'Allah, and the coming lesson, insha'Allah, we'll be talking about that into details. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Only one verse today, Mano?
Yes.
Which verse today?
The verse is 122 to 124. Yes, 122 to...